closer.
You are listening to the La Tavola Marque Radio Network. Hello and welcome, and thank you very much for downloading our little podcast. My name is Jason.
Ciao, and I'm Ashley.
And you have joined us this morning, or this evening, whenever you decided to listen to it, for our little podcast from Italy. Today is the 30th of November, a beautiful, dreary, rainy Friday. It's
yes.
Kind of perfect.
It's a Seattle day, I'd say.
God, you in the Seattle. Yes, it is a Seattle day, and it's fitting. It's, you know, a fitting day for fall.
The end of November. It's true. It's that dark. It was foggy this morning where the fog was clinging to the sides of the valley, sitting low. It was beautiful. And then the clouds rolled in and started raining by about 8:30. It is just that gray sky and pissy, drizzly rain. It's just enough that it makes doing stuff outside near impossible, but not enough that it's horrible. Like a full-on storm.
Yeah. It's a good day to do a podcast and have another cup of coffee and kind of piss away a couple hours.
It's been so wet this fall. I mean, when we were out of town, Carolyn and Luke, our neighbors down the road, were saying that the road was near impassable because there was so much flooding. And it's not the flooding of the bridges from under. Like, the rivers are definitely rising, but the bridges are up so high, this is not a problem that we would be facing for the rivers to, like, breach the bridge. It's the water standing on the bridge makes it almost impassable. Like, what can they do? Like,
I don't know. Well, they can get the water from the fields to stop draining onto the top of the bridges.
That's what I was saying to someone. I was like, it's all the mud coming down. It's so heavy, bringing everything with it. It's horrible. And then, I don't know if we mentioned this last time on the podcast, but we went to Fano on the coast to take my brother to touch the Adriatic. And it was like I'd never seen before.
They had a problem with high water, and I guess a big rogue wave came and literally washed out the beaches, the whole Sassonia beach.
But what was weird is that it made a hill to get to what was a flat beach. So you would get out of your car, walk straight across the street, straight through the little cabanas and everything, and straight to the beach, just like
a little downhill.
A little downhill, and now there was like a hill you had to damn near climb, and I don't know, it was shocking. And I mean, how high was that hill?
It was high enough that the beach is ruined. Like,
yes.
they need to really redo the beach. It washed. I don't know if it washed it out or pushed all the rock and sand up.
That's what was confusing. Exactly. Because they kept saying it took it away. And I thought it looked like it pushed it all up. But I don't know how that works. But do they bring in
bulldozers? I guess. But that beach is ruined. And that
Holy moly.
If no one goes to that beach this summer, then that's, you know, a ton of money they lose. But they'll fix it, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Well, please. How could they not go to the beach? Oh my God. When August comes, that beach will be ready.
Last weekend, we did our Thanksgiving feast for our friends and neighbors. It went really well. The turkey came out beautiful.
The turkey, okay, Jason talked about brining last week, and brine, boy, it worked because he was cutting it open, carving the bird, if you will, table side. And it was juicing so much, he had to bring the whole cart back into the kitchen because it was like, oh my God, this is going to get all over the floor. It was so juicy.
Yeah, it came out really, really well.
Stuffing, freaking delicious. Cornbread, sausage,
it did.
I love it.
It did well.
Pumpkin pie, my oh my.
What did I do that I could pass on as a tip that something could have gone better? Oh, I think stuffing, I think you don't season the stuffing correctly for when you stuff into the bird. Because when you brine the bird, and that has a salt brine, and then you stuff the bird, part of the brine and saltiness will come out into the stuffing. And when I made the stuffing, I seasoned it correctly. And it wasn't salty, but it didn't need any salt for it. So maybe that's a tip.
Is it wrong that I still poured gravy all over it?
Yes. The actually, our Italian friends and neighbors did much better this year.
Yes, it was a younger demographic.
It was a younger demographic, and I cut down the number of things I served with the turkey, so it wasn't overwhelming. But everyone tried cranberry. They were very...
Yes.
Everyone tried the gravy over the top.
Uh-huh. And the pies went off fantastic. We still made... First of all, these people ate. They ate a ton of food, and then desserts alone started with... Everyone got a piece of tiramisu made by yours truly, the only thing I contributed, a piece of pumpkin pie, a piece of pecan pie, a piece of crostata, and then a huge chunk of homemade dark chocolate with hazelnuts from our friends Paola and Antonio at Macchi Gelateria in Fado. They made this huge chocolate bar.
It was the size of a sheet pan.
Yeah, it was incredible. So people ate like 5 desserts also.
Mandarin chimi. They ate. The final guests, everyone started arriving at 11:30 noon, and the final guests left at
5:30.
So it was a full day. But it was great. It was, and now the season is officially done. We've been going back and forth. Actually, I've been going back and forth in my own head about whether to have guests for New Year's because Capodanno is a big thing for, you know, of course, New Year's. But people rent out whole agriturismi and just party the whole night away. But I don't know if I'm.
It's a lot of work. We like to go to bed early.
Yeah, I'm not a 4 in the morning. I'm not a party till 4 in the morning kind of guy. I'm a
10:30.
Woo, 10:30. All right.
Lights out. Tomorrow.
So I don't know. We'll see. But coming up,
losers.
We are losers. Ashley's brother is still here. He's been here for the last 3 weeks or so, and we are taking him to Rome and Norcia coming up.
Yes, and I wanted to give a little podcast shout out to listener Ted Murray. Thanks for the suggestion of Ostia Antica, because we are definitely going to stay there. Your picture was hysterical and helped seal the deal of a great place to go with a lot of history and something a little bit different. Closer to the airport, yeah, train stop or two outside of Rome.
Her brother has an early flight in the morning. So, and I don't want to stay in the city center.
No, we've done it before, and we can still go. We'll be there for a couple nights. And Ostia Antica is on the coast, which will mean my brother will have been able to see the Adriatic and Mediterranean. Plus, it is supposed to be have such incredible ruins that are even more spectacular than Pompeii. So, I'm quite excited to see.
Why'd you say it like that?
Because it's more dramatic.
And it's 15 minutes from the airport and 15 minutes from downtown.
A little more than 15, but it's like 2 train stops. It'll be easy. It'll be great.
So we'll let you know how that went. And we're also on the way home going to start up in Norcia, which is...
Yes, I'm really excited about this. We have never been there before. It's right on the border. It's technically Umbria. But
Marchigiani, Abruzzo, it's like right on...
Yeah, it's like right on the border of Umbria and La Marche. And so, like, I think not the closest La Marche town, but the most famous La Marche town next to that is Castelluccio, very much in the vicinity.
Which is famous for their little lentils, their green lentils, and they're delicious and
gorgeous. Oh my gosh. And but Norcia is famous because Norcino means butcher. Like, that's a term for butcher, and so it's a very famous way to cure meat, and...
They're just famous for their prosciutto and their salamis and their lardo, and they're famous for mite.
Yes, for pork.
Pork, yes, pork.
They are pork people. So we are excited to learn and taste and discover this beautiful place of Norcia, so I'm sure we'll have a lot to chat about and vlog about after that. And let's talk about your bread!
Yes, so I've begun... I was given a beautiful gift.
No, we told them that last week.
Okay. Anyway, so I started my mother, and I took equal parts of flour and water. And the flour was 50% white flour and 50% whole wheat flour. And we talked about how the flours come from right here in this area. So really, this mother is
born and raised
right here. And what I did is I 50% equal parts flour and water, mix it up, put it in a bowl with a kitchen towel over the top, and leave it in a cool spot 3 or 4 days. And you'll see after 2 to 3 days, this bubbles start to come up to the top. It starts smelling acidic, and a crust will start to form. I left it for another, like, day and a half. And then I threw most of it out and added 200 grams of this flour mixture, the flour, the white and the whole wheat flour, and 200 grams of water. And I do that every day at the same, approximately the same time.
But my magic question is, when does the bread begin?
Well, what we're trying to, what the book says is what we're trying to do is get a starter that is trained to rise and fall in a predictable manner so that then I can make bread out of it. So I've noticed that after I feed it in the morning, and I do it when I'm making coffee in the morning, it'll have a very sweet smell, and it won't, and it won't be bubbly. And then the next morning or that evening, I'll see half, you know, when I pass it after lunch, I'll look at it. I haven't really noticed it rising all that much, but I do notice the next morning that there's activity and it smells acidic. So that's what we're looking for. And then what I'm looking for is for it to do it at the same, you know, be regular, go, you know, come rise, go to acidic and do it every day regularly. And then when you drop a little bit of it, a spoonful of it in a glass of warm water, it should float because there's enough CO2, there's enough gas in it to have the dough float, which it hasn't done yet.
So as long also as the weather stays consistent, does that matter?
I don't,
like, in this early part?
I think that when you proof the bread, when you want it to rise, that makes a huge difference.
Okay.
But right now, we're just trying to train the yeast, the wild yeast that we've captured, and we're trying to cultivate it. We're trying to grow it.
Oh, I am excited about this project.
I am, too. It's going good so far. It's not something that happens overnight. But.
No, but when it smells the kind of yeasty, that sweeter smell, it smells good. Like, you're thinking, oh, this is going to be good.
Well, a couple of things I've noticed. One, it smells a little like throw-up.
But that's not the part that smells good. Now you're going to make me sound disgusted.
No.
Just like, that it
like,
smells good.
No,
in the early part, it kind of smells like sourdough.
It smells like sourdough.
Like
the next day when you smell it, it smells, and then whenever it touches this like goo,
oh my God,
it gets everywhere. So it's a, like, think of a thick pancake batter. That's what it looks like.
If you need a stick to anything paste, you could use this.
If it touches any clothing, if it touches any kitchen towel, if it touches any counter surface, and dries, it's cement. It's done. So
it's true.
It is true.
You can tell when Jason has been messy. Like, there's spots of it on the plastic, like the curtain hanging between the door and stuff. Anyway, speaking of projects, Carolyn got our neighbor down the road, who we do a lot of gardening projects with and things. Our good friend. She for her birthday was given the gift of a serra. And what is that, Jason?
Serra is a greenhouse. So it was delivered just the other day, and we've been setting it up. We have the skeleton built, and we're doing it together because her husband, Luke, has hurt his arm. So, and which is actually okay because I love doing stuff like
that. Well, not only that, but you'd help them regardless because
they'll
use it. Like,
of course I'll use it, but I think if Luke wasn't injured, he would have had it together.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Already finished and
for sure.
Everything moved in already. So it's good that it's been rainy, so we work on it, you know, 4 hours and then stop, but it's good. We have the skeleton built and we will be able to start our seedlings so much earlier this year.
Well, also, not only that, it's down where we tend to have Carolyn help us start our seedlings, or she offers to, because she's farther down the road, which that's difference of about, man, 6 kilometers and
100 meters.
Is 100 meters in height?
Yeah, she's 100 meters lower than
Yeah, exactly. So that is a huge difference when it comes to freezing mornings in the spring and things like that when you need the weather to start warming up, because we'll still have frost and she's a lot warmer. And it's critical for those seeds at that point for their temperature.
Well, and she just doesn't, what she was doing last year, which she would move
everything
outside during the day and then move it all back in at night. And talk about a ton of work, all those little tiny pots.
Oh, yeah. And she's patient with it, too. So,
it's
going to
really
be beautiful.
Most difficult thing is to start healthy plants from seeds, and she is incredible at it. She babies them.
Uh-huh.
She sings to them.
She probably does, and she plays the piano for them.
She does. She's very good. It's not easy to start healthy plants from seeds. She's excellent. I'm learning a lot from it.
What else is going on?
Let's see. Last night I made risotto, and we were talking about risotto this morning, and
well, we've been putting a lot of risotto recipes on the blog, so there's been, like, porcini, and then
I made saffron.
Jason made saffron last night. I posted recently a one with pumpkin risotto. So we were saying, like, what is really the secret to creating great risotto?
No secret at all. Very easy. One is your stock. You have to have good stock. So, like, last night I had, obviously, chicken stock left over from Thanksgiving, so I used chicken stock in the saffron risotto. Probably a little too strong of a taste for the saffron, because saffron's so delicate, it tasted more like chicken soup risotto.
It was good.
It was delicious. But, now, whether you're making a chicken stock or a vegetable stock, or you're making seafood risotto and you're making a fish stock, really, really important. Don't open the can. Do it yourself. Take your time making the stock, because that is the cornerstone of the whole thing.
Is that more important even than truly having arborio rice?
Well, no, you have to have the arborio rice.
Oh, okay.
It's all important. But it's the little things that matter. So, risotto, really easy. A little bit of onion, a little bit of oil or butter, your arborio rice, stock, and whatever it is you want to be your, you know, your addition. So,
like, for argument's sake.
You could do it out of pumpkin.
Let's just use that.
A pumpkin?
Yeah. I just mean for conversation.
Okay. So, you would take you would sweat down your onion and a little bit of your olive oil or butter really, really slowly without any color. Then you turn the heat up a little bit. You add your rice. I say a small handful of rice if you're serving it as a first course per person. Toast your rice a little bit. Then you're going to hit it with a little bit of white wine. Once the white wine cooks out, you're going to start ladling in your boiling stock one ladle at a time. And you constantly stir on a low heat in a figure eight motion, you know, scraping the sides, but keeping the rice moving. You don't have to stir like a madman. But
you don't want anything sticking.
You don't want anything to stick. And you one ladleful at a time. As the rice absorbs the stock, you add another ladleful, nice and slow. Usually 18 to 20 minutes this process will take.
Standing there stirring.
When you get to the end, very important, this is where you make or break your risotto. Right when you think you're about 2 minutes away.
Al dente.
You're going to add one more little bit of stock. You're going to add a little bit of cheese. You're going to give it a stir or two, and you're going to shut the heat off, close the lid, and let it sit for 2 minutes.
Say what?
Now you don't stir all the way to the end. You stop it when it's a tiny bit undercooked. You add a little tiny bit more stock or cream if you're doing like a
the
pumpkin one. I do a little bit of cream instead of the stock at the end. A little bit more liquid, a handful or two of cheese. Give it a stir. Lid on, heat off the stove. Let it sit for. Give 2 minutes.
It just makes it come together?
Kind of makes it come together. It just needs that kind of minute to sit and just kind of get a little thicker. The worst thing you could do is serve overcooked risotto. Don't do it. If you screw it up and overcook it, make it into a pancake. It's delicious.
What I love here is that the dish takes precedent from whatever's going on at the table in that sense. So, like, I do the serving and the clearing, and I'm the waitress, and Jason's in the kitchen. So, like, if we're doing a risotto for Primo, and the antipasti is taking much longer, and people are eating quite slow and really enjoying themselves, every once in a while I'll have to say, I just need to let you know the Primo is risotto, and I need to serve it. And what I love about Italians is they're like, of course, take all of this away, bring me my risotto. I know when it is ready, it waits for no one. And I just love that, like, mentality. Not like, oh, well, just put it there and I'll get to it when I'm ready. It's like, no, it must be eaten at the height of its perfection. When the chef says it's done,
yes,
it's ready.
It must be served immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, it's a little tricky to time. Normally what I do is I err on the side of having them wait a moment than pushing food at them. But
no, I know. I don't mean we're trying to hustle through the courses, yeah. But I just mean they understand the risotto
is
ready.
Winter, late fall, late autumn is a great time for risottos. They're a perfect hearty meal. And the next day you can make it into a pancake in a nonstick pan, a little olive oil, and it with a couple of sunny side up eggs over it. Oh man, oh man.
Well, because risotto is one of those weird things where it wouldn't really reheat well.
As risotto?
Yeah.
No, you make risotto balls out of it, or you make the
pancake.
Those
are awesome, too.
I prefer the pancake.
I prefer the pancake, too, but I'll never forget that one guest who was here in the summer, and you made porcini and, truffle or something. Maybe not truffle, but porcini risotto balls, and he couldn't stop going back that the other guests were, counting how many he had had. It was so funny, because those things are addictive.
They are good. So try it out. A little boreal rice, a little good stock, an onion, and a quarter glass or half a glass of white wine, and you're in business.
You're done.
You're done.
So, all this food talk, again, makes me hungry, again. Today, I think we're going to go and take my brother to what we call the Hunter's Hideaway. Shockingly,
What is the Hunter's Hideaway?
Well, it's down a road, up a road.
Up a mountain.
Up a mountain.
You're not spitting this out. The Hunter's Hideaway is really called Acqua Partita, which is a tiny little frazione, they call it, of Apecchio. It's in the hills. It's about 8 or 10 kilometers up in the hills from Apecchio. It overlooks Umbria, and you would not ever, ever know this unless you lived here.
If you think we're in the middle of nowhere, times two is the town to get to their place. It is so far up and out.
There's nothing up there except maybe four or five little houses.
No signs,
and one restaurant. And we call it the Hunter's Hideaway because that all there is is hunters. And burly, Italian guys.
Yeah, men come in their camo from hunting.
There is no menu. You sit down. There's usually three pastas. It'll usually be a pasta with boar sauce, a pasta with deer sauce, and usually a mushroom. The types of pastas change from pappardelle to tagliatelle to the mezzaluna, the half moon, ravioli things. And the second dish never changes. It's mixed grill or tagliata, steak with the grana and balsamic and arugula over it.
It is good. The grilled meat, though, is freaking amazing.
The grilled meat or the steak with the grana.
But your favorite part?
Is the freaking potatoes. They make these fried potatoes that they fry in pork fat or struto. That's the best part of the whole meal.
You just get, happy.
I love these potatoes. I don't know. They're absolutely delicious. So I'll skip the pasta today and go straight for the mixed grill.
I got to go for pasta. I love it. I always love it. We took my grandpa there, and he's an old Okie cowboy, and we lost him in the restaurant. We didn't lose him, but he went to go to the bathroom or something, and it took so long for him to come back, so I went to go look for him. And there he is, sitting by the fireplace with some old Italian hunter. Both of them are talking almost at the back and forth. Neither speaks the other's language, but they are deep in the moment, feeling it. And it was just like these two old, crusty hunters from years past. And, they had the same language just in their kind of feeling. And it was great. But what was amazing is this restaurant. We had some guests here from New York recently, and she kept saying, there's a restaurant in Apecchio that I really want to go to. They're supposed to have great truffles and just to be a really good restaurant. And she kept calling it this other name. And I had no idea what she was talking about. And I said, yeah, you should go and tell me where it is because I don't know where this is or what anything about this restaurant. And then it started dawning on me. I think she's talking about the freaking Hunter's Hideaway. And sure enough, it was.
It's got a real name?
I think it's the name of the person.
Oh, because anyone you talk to just says, oh yeah, the restaurant in Acqua Partita.
They just call it Acqua Partita.
They call it Acqua Partita because there's absolutely nothing else
up
there.
And now I can't think of his name. It's Gabriele or something, Michaela, whatever. But anyway, I just couldn't believe that some article had been written and she had researched and had heard about this place online. I thought, well, I don't know how they're getting their word out, but the hunters sure know.
Yeah. And so, it's a huge place. I'm sure that we've never been there in the summertime, but if anyone's interested on exactly where it is, maybe we'll do a blog post about it.
Yeah, I'll bring my camera.
Bring your camera, we'll take pictures and do a blog post, because it is one of those things that
you
have to be, it makes you feel like a local person if you went up there and found this place. All right, anything else? What's the plan for today?
Lunch and, I don't know. Maybe some laundry.
Laundry. It's pouring outside.
I know. This is the trials and tribulations of countryside living with no dryer in the winter.
Oh, yeah. If you like crunchy socks.
and stiff white tees.
And stiff white t-shirts, then drying your clothes in the cold is for you.
Or smelling like the fireplace.
Yeah, or you can put it by the fire and you smell like campfire everywhere you go. It's your choice.
It's festive. It's festive. Ode Villa.
No one really does the dryers here.
It's too expensive.
That
is one luxury we don't have.
Clothes dryers are really expensive. Energy is really expensive, and no one does it. People just hang their stuff in the other room by the fire.
Well, at least we're not to the point where the clothes are freezing on the line.
No, they're not freezing yet. It's not cold out. It's just rainy and crappy.
Mm-hmm.
But today I will be going to the hardware store. I'm building you a light box.
Ooh la la.
So I'm going to go get some PVC, and we're going to build a box that Ashley can then hang. It's actually just a skeleton that then she'll hang different fabrics over and put lights around to diffuse the light to take pictures.
All right. Stepping up the photography.
Yes, yes. And we'll also look about building some other lighting for, I want to build lighting for if we do video.
Yes, I was going to say, stay tuned. Some exciting stuff happening this winter. Big projects.
We will see. Yes. So, I think we're going to keep it short today. We'll keep it a shorty.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. Thank you very much for listening. You want to take it home?
All right. You can friend us on Facebook. For La Tabla Marque, you can find us online also on our website, our blog, our Twitter, and it's all spelled by LATAVOLAMARCHE, La Tabla Marque.
If you have any questions or comments or want to hear about something in the Marque area, please send us an
email. If you have any great topics for the show, if you want us to go over some day trips or a certain village or food or question you have, let us know.
info@latavolamarque.com. Rate us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating and a comment, and it helps us move up. I don't even know why we...
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Whatever. Just enjoy the show.
Just enjoy the show. It doesn't matter.
Have a great day.
So from very wet and rainy Piobico, Italia, thank you very much for listening. Have a great day.
Ciao!